look around in Beis Medrash and you see people learning with enthusiasm, you see people learning with excitement, people really getting excited, mostly the Rabbeim. But I did see the other day, Rebbe was explaining something to one of the guys, and he got exceptionally excited. He kept repeating it, jumping up and down, yelling. You see real excitement. You see people who learn day and night. What's going on? What is it about? You go visit Gedolei Torah, and you see a complete person, a person totally at peace. You see an exceptionally complete person. What is that about? What's going on? You say every morning in davening, V'hoyer einenu b'sorasechol. We ask Hashem to light up our eyes with Torah. Your eyes light up when you get it, when you understand it. It's not foggy. It's completely understood. In a cartoon, when somebody gets a new idea, there's a light bulb over his head that represents the idea of really, really getting it. Really, really clear. It's a tremendous feeling when you feel in your mind, in your intellect, you've really gotten it. You really understand it. It takes going over. It takes, sometimes you learn something, and when you look at it again, you see something completely different. You see more each time. I was told, I had a chavrusa who had learned in Tells. I was told that Rabbi Mordechai Gifter used to say, the Rosh Yeshiva of Tells, say, the first time is nothing. First time you learn something is nothing. Second time is the first time. Rav Gifter's son-in-law told me that's Tells of math. You figure out the equation. The first time is nothing, 1 equals 0. First time is nothing, 1 equals 0. You add 1 to both sides of the equation, you get 2 equals 1. The second time is the first time. That's very true. That you get clarity each time you learn it. It's so satisfying. V'hoyer einenu b'sorasecha, my eyes light up. I really got it. I really understood it. So satisfying. And then there's a pasuk in Mishle that says, Kosveim aluach libecha. Write the Torah, inscribe the Torah in your heart. And we've gone a little bit further inside. First, the eyes, v'hoyer einenu. And now, into the internal organs. Kosve maliach luach libecha, inscribe the Torah on your heart. The heart represents feeling, represents emotion. It's not just, I got it in my mind, but now it's affected my feeling. Torah has become internalized. That movement from the head to the heart appears in Aleinu. Where does it appear in Aleinu? V'yadata hayom, you know with your mind. V'hashevosa el levavecha. And then it should go into your heart. Ki Hashem hu Elokim. You should first know it intellectually, and then you should feel it. And that's what we're saying about the Torah. First, v'hoyer einenu b'sorasecha. I get it, I understand it in my mind. But then it connects up with my heart. Avas Torah. Love of Torah. One of my rabbeim, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Kagan, pointed out that Yisro had seven names. And we're told Yisro added a parsha to the Torah. He was Mechadish Torah. He gave Moshe advice, and that's written down, and he was Mechadish Torah, and so for that his name went from Yeser to Yisro. He got a one letter. But he got a whole name, Chovov, because he loved the Torah. Greater than creating Torah is loving the Torah. The same is true, we see in Aleinu, about our relationship with Hashem. It starts, V'yodata Hayom, intellectually I understand. I relate to Hashem. Because intellectually, it's kind of nonsense otherwise. When you think about it. So, what started? If you deny Hashem, what started? Matter? What was go all the way back, infinitely back? Matter isn't infinite. Makes no sense. Makes no sense. It can't make any sense at all that matter was forever. So what started everything? It's got to be something spiritual. That's beyond our understanding. This and many other intellectual arguments were presented by philosophers to feel that, to understand in your head, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim. That's for your data hayom. But that's not the Hashem that we relate to. V'hashevoso el levovecho. You can have a lot of intellectual good arguments. Philosophers have a whole list of arguments about the existence of Hashem. First cause with all intellectual discussion. But the Hashem that we relate to is v'hashevosa elavavecha. It is feeling. Where do we express that feeling? Ezo avoda shebalev. What is the avoda in the heart? It's a tefillah. It's a davening. In davening, we reach out emotionally to Hashem. There was a best-selling author named Herman Wouk, who became a Baal Tshuva. A major author. Became a Baal Tshuva. And he described his experiences in a book called This Is My God. And he writes there, you know, maybe not every time your davening is so perfect. But then one time you'll daven, and you'll have such an outpouring of feeling and emotion that you'll understand why you've been davening all along. Sometimes where you need to have that emotion. My son was 5 years old, and he had to have minor surgery. And in the morning, my wife went to pick him up and bring him home. I got a frantic call from her that the aide who was having trouble removing the bandage where he had the IV took a scissor and cut the bandage but also cut the needle. And the needle started moving through his circulatory system and there was a concern that it would go to his heart. And I rushed into my car with my tears streaming down. And Baruch Hashem, I knew to daven. Baruch Hashem, that I knew how to respond, I knew how to reach out for Hashem. It lodged in his shoulder, they need another surgery to remove it, but the Yodata Hayom is one thing when Hashem is in your mind. V'hashevoso el levovecha, and another thing when it's an emotional relationship. And that's the relationship that we have with the Torah as well. It starts with your eyes lighting up, and then it goes to kasfeim aliba luach libecha. It goes into an emotional, and then there's a pasuk in Tehillim. Lasos ritzoncha elokai chafatzti, Hashem, I want to do your will. V'soroscha Besoch Meod. And your Torah is in my intestines. So now we've gone to the digestive system. First, we started with vision. Then we went to the heart, circulatory system. And now it's in the intestines. Sarascha b'toch me'ai. What does that mean? When you digest something, when food goes through your digestive system, it then becomes part of you. The next step is that the Torah becomes part of you. When your emotional relationship, then I'm here and the Torah is there and I have an emotional relationship with it. But then the next step is Torah becomes part of you. You've heard from the Rosh Yeshiva and from the Rabbein, we talk about becoming a Ben Torah. Ben Torah means, literally, son of the Torah. I was produced by the Torah. Torah is part of me. My identity is produced by the Torah. That's the next step. What does that mean? My identity is produced by the Torah. So, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, a great Baal Musar, historians say he started the Musar movement. He describes the following. He says, well, let's say somebody has a midah, raw. He wants to correct something about himself. Let's say he gets angry, loses his temper, has a problem with kas, and he wants to deal with it. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said there are two ways to deal with it using the Torah. One is natural and one is supernatural. There's a natural way. Look at what the Torah has to say about anger. What does the Torah talk about kas? Learn it through. Kol ha-koyes kilu oved avodah zara. You lose it to anger. You've totally lost it. So you're not under the realm of Hashem anymore. It's like you're oved avodah zara. Pasuk. Ki ha-kas b'chek silim yonuach. Anger is very foolish. Only foolish people get angry. You're only hurting yourself. You're angry at somebody else, you're only hurting yourself. You're the one who suffers from your anger. So, that's natural. You learn through, learn a Musa Sefer about Midos, about Kas. That's natural. Learn the Ramban says, where does Kas come from? It comes from Gava. How could you do that to me? Me, I'm me. I'm great. How could you possibly talk to me like that? The source of it is Gava. When you realize these things quite naturally, you don't want to get angry anymore. You learn how to control the anger. And then there's supernatural. But we saw Salanta put it, you want to control your anger? Learn Shoshanaga Chasapor. Learn about what happens when an ox gores a cow. We say it for us. Learn through the consequences of if you say you're a Parshia, so you don't say you're a Parshia. Do you need three Dayanim? Do you need one Dayan? When do you need three? When do you need one? Learn through that. That'll help your anger. That's supernatural. I'm not talking about anger. I'm learning a Gemara in Sanhedrin. And after that, you will become a better person. The Torah will become part of you, and you will become better. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said this is supernatural. He didn't say it's irrational. He didn't say it makes no sense. He says it's supernatural. Why is it supernatural? Why is it that if I learn through a Gemara, I am changed? It becomes a part of me and I am a different person. Because Hashem said that if you want to come to me and you want to be in my presence, so go to the Beis HaMikdash. If you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, then the only place I am is in Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. You want to know where I am in the world? You want to come close to Hashem? I'm in the Torah. That's where I am. You want to feel the presence of Hashem? Then absorb the Torah. And so somebody who absorbs the Torah is in the presence of the Shekhinah. And of course he's changed. Of course he's a different person. By encountering, by being close to Hashem, it changes you, it becomes part of you. What kind of person do you become when you are together with Hashem. So it's actually a pasuk in Bereishis. Bereishis, you have a whole genealogy. You have a list of people from one generation to another. We're not told much about them. They were born, they lived so many years, they had a child, they lived so many more years, and they died. Next. He was born, he lived so many years, he had a child, he lived so many more years, and he died. Except for Chanoch. Chanoch, we're told a little bit about him. Generally speaking, we're taught these generations, you want to go right through them and get to Noach. The generations from Noach to Avram, we want to go right through them and get to Avram. We're not interested in the people, and there's nothing much to say about them. But it does say something about Chanoch. Vayishale Chanoch im ha'alukim. It says, Chanoch walked with Hashem. What does that mean? Not clear. Pasuk doesn't tell us what it meant. What did he do? What did Chanoch do when he walked with Hashem? So there's a midrash. The midrash says that Chanoch was a shoemaker. And when he stitched the shoes, he was in the presence of Hashem when he was stitching those shoes. So we would think, okay, Chanoch, great man. He was chazaring Sanhedrin. He was learning Mesilas Yesharim. He was thinking Kabbalah thoughts. Miyachid Yechudim Lekona. Almost sounds like Kabbalah. He was thinking all these wonderful things that led him straight up to the Kisei HaKavod. He was in the presence of Hashem. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Asur. He wouldn't have been allowed to do that. Somebody's paying you to stitch shoes. You're thinking about Hashem? Not now. You got to stitch the shoes. Asur. You're not getting paid to be holy. You're getting paid to stitch shoes. So Yisrael Salanter says, I'll tell you what it means. Hoyim Yachid Yehudim Lekono. When Chanoch was stitching those shoes, he was thinking, how can I stitch them so that the person that I'm making them for will be comfortable? And that they will last a long time and they will look nice. How can I help the other person with what I'm doing? That's Miyachid Yechudim Lekono. That's Vayizhale Chanochim Ha'alokim. What is it? Well, what does somebody usually think when they're working and they're making money? This pair of shoes, I'll make $50. And if I do 8 pairs of shoes today, I'll make $400. And in a few weeks, I'll have enough money for a vacation. All about me. It's all about me. What I'm doing is all about me. I'll make this much money and I will get this from it. That's normal. What does it mean to be in the presence of Hashem? You take the same thing that you're doing, you're making a pair of shoes, and it's not all about me, it's about somebody else. I'm doing it for him. This is very difficult. This is very, very difficult idea. You go through the day, and I'm thinking about somebody else. The first time I saw this, I was like 1,000 miles from it. And then I set it over, so I got to be 999 miles. Now I'm about 990 miles away from this. This is very, very difficult. It takes a step at a time. It's not all about me. Psychologists tell us that when somebody is born, he just knows about himself. And a few days go by, and suddenly he discovers there's also his mother. So there's one other person around. But it starts off, and it's all about me. I'm the only one in the world. And that's natural. That's natural in everything you do, think about yourself. But somebody who's misalechim elokim, somebody who's in the presence of Hashem, taras habesoch mei, he's absorbed the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's not all about him. He realizes he can do the same stitching of shoes for somebody else. So we've talked about lighting up your eyes, getting the Torah clearly, intellectually, a wonderful feeling of really getting it, and then having the next step, an emotional kosvei maluk, luach libecha, that your heart is absorbing the Torah. It's starting to become internal. And then it becomes part of you. And then I have a story. In the yeshiva that people call Gush, a new student came over, a student came over to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and said, "Why do we have to learn?" Now, that's probably somebody who hasn't had the experience of learning. Because when you have the experience of learning, you don't ask that question. You know, there's this initiative, the Shabbos initiative, that the rabbi in South Africa started. And he started it and he said, everybody who signs up should keep a complete Shabbos. Everything. You don't drive, you don't do walkers, you keep a whole Shabbos with meals and zmiris and keeping Shabbos. He didn't start with, I'm going to give you lectures about Shabbos, and I'm going to argue with you and I'm going to convince you about Shabbos. He said, keep a Shabbos. And a lot of the people after that had no questions about why keep Shabbos. They just kept one Shabbos and there were no more questions. So the real answer is, why you have to learn? Okay, sit down and learn for a few months and then see if you want to ask me that question. But you can't answer that one. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said, why do you have to learn? Why do you have to breathe? So the guys in Gush made sweatshirts, and on the back of it said, why do you have to learn? Why do you have to breathe? That year, you know, what a quote. So now we've gone from vision to the circulatory system, to the digestive system, and now we're in the respiratory system. Breathe. The Torah is breathing. You need it. You can't do without it. Well, there are a lot of people out there who do without it, right? A lot of the world don't learn Torah and they're still alive. And they're not turning blue in the face. So he wasn't talking about your body. He's talking about your neshama. Talking about the other part of you, the soul. And the soul needs food too. The neshama has to be fed too. And what Rabbi Lichtenstein was saying is that on the shamas need to be fed, and they're turning blue in the face if they don't have the Torah. Because the Torah is connecting up with Hashem. And the neshama wants to be connected up with Hashem. And without that, it'll bother you. Somewhere in your identity, you will be bothered by that lack. You learn the Torah, then your mind is awakened, your heart is awakened, it becomes part of your identity, and your neshama is well fed. Until you grab these sheets over here.